The Bright Side Home Theater Podcast is a spoiler podcast. The opinions and reviews are solely those of the Bright Side Home Theater Podcast.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
This is Bright Side Home Theater.
Hey, home theater nerds, it's Friday again, and Brightside Home Theater is back. This week, we're going to be talking about Daredevil, the director's cut from 2003, the Blu-ray copy with the DTS track. I think the theme of this is I had a lot of fun with it, so we'll get into more of that in a little bit, but we got our first review. I say we as in the podcast. We got our first review on iTunes. Comes from Ybot Robot. I don't think it's a robot that did it, but it's a 5-star review, and it says, "This guy is really passionate about theater viewing." Well, that pretty much sums it up. Yes, I am. So thank you for the review, whoever you are. That's awesome. And I was so excited by that. I think there's going to be a giveaway. I'll have more of that at the end of the podcast because I need to get some more reviews. I want to get the word out there, and the best way to do that is to get the people that are listening, post a few reviews, 5-star reviews, please, on iTunes, and that'll expand our audience, which is always fun. Get more people talking and more people listening. Let's have some fun. And speaking of people talking, let's go to Justin. Justin's back this week. I got 3 upcoming movies that I want to talk about, and I'm sure he has some more, so let's talk to Justin. Hey, Justin, we're back again another week. 2 weeks in a row. We're on a roll here.
Yeah. Hated to miss the last week on the podcast there, but I am back.
Yeah, yeah. We got it going. We're on a roll. Let's see if we can make it 3 in a row next week, but let's concentrate on this week first. I know it was hard for you and I to get on today because you were writing and I'm running around. It's not easy.
Speaking of threes, I had to do 3 news stories this morning, and let's move on to another trifecta here.
We got 3 movies this week. The first one I'd like to ask you about is Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. That's a big one coming out next week.
That's a Tarantino powerhouse, man. I went and saw that theatrically, and I think a lot of people did.
Yeah.
A lot of people really love that movie. First of all, on 4K, it's worth noting there's going to be 3 different versions on the 4K front of it. There's going to be the standard version on 4K. There's going to be a collector's edition, which I'd like to note has sold out on Amazon, just as I had predicted.
Yep.
And there's also a Best Buy Steelbook version of that on 4K. On the Blu-ray side, there are some exclusives over Target and Walmart as well. Back to that collector's edition. The collector's edition is still available over at Best Buy. And I'd like to mention I found last night that you can buy it through Vudu. And I'd imagine Walmart. But if you buy it through Vudu, you actually get it digitally right now, and then they'll ship it to you on the physical release date. So, and I imagine that fulfillment's through Walmart, because Vudu is owned by Walmart.
That's cool.
First of all, in that movie was actually shot on tons of different varieties of film. I was doing some research on it, prepping for the review and everything. That movie actually had a shot for one scene that was shot on Super 8mm. A few scenes were shot in 16mm for some of the footage, like for the fictional TV shows and films that are featured in the movie.
Right.
Just the whole majority of the movie, though, is shot on 35mm film. The good news on the digital side of that, this was actually mastered in a 4K digital intermediate. So that means this is going to probably look a little bit better than some stuff that gets, a 2K digital intermediate and then gets a 4K release. In terms of audio, this will not get any type of special sound. It's just going to get a 5.1 lossless DTS master audio, which really comes as no surprise that Tarantino would probably not want to try to do anything too elaborate with the sound on this release.
Right. He likes to do, I hate to say 5.1 is old school, but he runs it like that. And the mixes are still really good.
Yeah. And, you know, you got to think this movie is also about historical side of Hollywood and film and all that. It really makes more of a sense to kind of keep it. I wouldn't say 5.1 is simple by any means, but it just makes more sense to not try to do anything. I wouldn't call it over the top. Let's just say it came into no surprise at all to me. You know, as we mentioned back in the day in the news story side of that, that this wouldn't get that type of mix.
Yeah, I've got this one. I ordered it back when we talked about it way back when.
Right.
I'm getting the collector's edition. I just checked my Amazon account. It says it's going to arrive on Thursday of next week. So it comes out on Tuesday. I won't get it till Thursday, but that's worth the wait.
I had to order it through Best Buy, and once I realized it was sold out like I had predicted, I was like, oh God, I want to have this collector's edition of this movie because I went and saw it theatrically. I can't wait to see it, to, you know, see what it looks like here in a home theater setting.
Yeah, I can't wait to see it, and I can't wait to hear it because I think his audio track's going to be really good. Really
his good. His music combination and the action and the dialogue and all that converged together is just such a beautiful amount of audio put together.
Yeah.
So I can't wait to hear it as well. You're right.
Yep. The next one, which I think is going to have a really good audio track as well, is Hustlers.
Right. Hustlers actually has Atmos. The really interesting thing about Hustlers I'll get to in just 1 second, but I just want to mention this is a pricey 4K, pun intended.
Yeah.
I'll let people figure that out, and if you get offended by it and you figured it out, you'll get it. Anyway, yeah, even over at Amazon and even through that Voodoo service, if you order it digitally and then get it physically, it's $33. So that's pretty pricey for a 4K, I think. You know, that's the downside of that, but it may be worth it. Here's why. This thing was shot on 8K, 7K, 6K, 5K, and 4K. I'm not joking. IMDb states what I just said, that it was shot on all of those resolutions digitally. That's going to be interesting, and guess what? It got a 4K digital intermediate, so it's going to look just as good as it should. With that combination of source material, man, this ought to be pretty interesting visually.
Yeah.
It gets HDR10. That's the downside. You don't get any other high dynamic range to work with other than an HDR10 there. It should be very, very interesting given that source material and the master being 4K.
Yeah, and that Dolby Atmos mix. I haven't seen this one yet. I didn't get to see it in the theater, but I'm really looking forward to it. Really looking forward to it because from the trailers, everything I've seen, it looks like it's, you know, another one that's really going to utilize the soundtrack and, you know, and it does seem to have a bit of action, should I say? So it seems like it could be pretty good.
Yeah. It's probably, you know, one of those films that's like, I wouldn't say like Tarantino exactly, but, you know, films are starting to be more driven by the soundtracks and things like that. And a lot of that translates into some really beautiful Atmos sometimes, not just like soundtrack and terms of a song like you would hear on the radio, but sometimes the, you know, original music composed for a film and stuff like that.
Yep. And then the last one I had was It Chapter 2, which, you know, horror movies always fun in a theater setting.
I'm excited for that one. I was a fan of the last iteration of that, the first chapter of it on 4K. It was really pretty good presentation and everything. That was actually shot digitally on 2.8K and 3.4K formats, but I'm not sure if that got a digital intermediate in 4K or 2K mastered. So it's going to be interesting to see if it did or it didn't. This received an Atmos mix in theaters, and it gets an Atmos mix here.
Cool.
Visually, it's going to get all three formats of high dynamic range. It's going to get HDR10, Dolby Vision, and HDR10+. That ought to be pretty interesting in terms of those out there that are able to enjoy, at least I'd imagine, 2 out of 3 of those.
Yeah, usually you're doing 10+ in lieu of Vision, Dolby Vision,
yeah,
or vice versa, you know what I mean? So,
It seems to be an exclusivity or proprietary type thing.
Right.
That's interesting that release is going to get all those high dynamic range formats. And I'm really getting fond of the fact that you're starting to see a lot more 4K UHD Blu-ray releases get that treatment. It kind of reminds me of the days when you used to see a DVD get both DTS and Dolby Digital 5.1 mixes, and you kind of got like all the varieties. I'm kind of excited for that.
Yep. So that's all I had for this week. What else you got? I see you got a few other here releases.
Yeah, it's not a new release, but it's worth noting on 4K that Lionsgate has finally decided to bundle the Hunger Games films as a four-film collection this week. In terms of Blu-ray and 4K, Twin Peaks from Z to A, which is a box that includes the original series, the limited series, and the two movies, that is going to get an exclusive 4K UHD Blu-ray disc. That disc will contain the first episode, the pilot, from the original series.
Yep.
And it will contain part 8 from the limited series. David Lynch, from what I remember, is said to have overseen or approved this. A lot of people are questionable why only those two episodes. I have the same question. But it's David Lynch, man. That's somebody, good luck questioning him.
Yeah.
And speaking of which, with the 4K, that disc, I really think it's doubtful you'll ever see that disc actually be released individually on any type of means unless you actually see the show someday get a 4K UHD Blu-ray release. Maybe that's what that disc is really about, is they maybe wanted to see what fans think about how that visually looks, those two versions. And maybe get some feedback. There could be a bright side to that. We'll see.
Yeah.
Speaking of which.
Yeah. Hey.
There's also some other box sets on Blu-ray that are worth mentioning. I found interesting, and two of them I have myself. And the first one I don't have, but I'd like to go through, is the Hitchcock British International Pictures Collection from Kino Classics. That's some older British Alfred Hitchcock films. That would be pretty interesting.
Oh, cool.
There's the Anne Bancroft collection Shout Select is putting out. That's the late actress who was the wife of director Mel Brooks. Mel Brooks actually collated and put this collection together himself, which is kind of sweet in a romantic sense.
Cool.
He or Shout actually got the rights to the Olive Films version of The Miracle Worker and the Criterion Collection version of The Graduate, and those are included in the box set. The next one is the Fly Collection from Scream Factory. That includes, for the first time, the sequels to the original 58 and 86 films. There's no new video transfers here, but there is a lot of new bonus materials, and I mean a pretty good amount.
Yeah, I was looking through that.
Enough to leave fans pleased. It's pretty interesting for the last film, The Fly 2. I was watching that last night, and I noticed it had a pretty good amount of bonus materials, more than I expected a sequel to have.
So that collection comes with the 58 and the 86 version? Both, obviously, the 86 being the remake of the 58.
Yeah, the 58 version is, as far as I can tell, identical to the original 20th Century Classics release, which was a limited series that Fox did where they released some of their older films. It seems to be the original disc, as far as I can tell, or not disc, but the encode of that. And then the 86 version seems to be the same as the original Fox Blu-ray, as far as I can tell. I haven't done screenshot comparisons and looked really closely yet, but they seem to be identical. I might change my mind on that. We'll see. But if they are any bit different, it's only slightly. So
okay. That's still cool that they're both in the same box set, though.
Oh, yeah. It's a five-film collection. You get The Original Fly from 1958. You get Return of the Fly, which came out in 59. You get Curse of the Fly, which came out in the 60s. The Fly, which came out in 1986, that starred Jeff Goldblum. And then the sequel, The Fly 2, with Eric Stoltz. Both of those latter films, believe it or not, and spin it back around to Mel Brooks one last time here, were produced by Mel Brooks and Brooks Films. Most people don't realize that. Mel Brooks actually does an interview here on some of the bonus features, which is a very interesting interview, to say the least.
Cool. All right. That's all I have for this week. You got anything else?
In terms of news, I guess I'll kind of sum up what kept me busy. That kind of delayed the podcast getting recorded this week. First and foremost here, that Boys in the Hood is actually going to get a 4K UHD Blu-ray release in February. That's a very important because in 1991, the late John Singleton, a very talented director, directed that film. It made a very long-lasting impact and was nominated for 2 Academy Awards. It's great to see that it's got a new 4K scan from the original camera negative and everything. It's not quite a restoration, but it's going to be getting a release and includes some new 4K extras that includes a tribute to the late director, John Singleton.
Oh, cool.
That should be really interesting. Next, Gemini Man, the film from Ang Lee starring Will Smith and Will Smith, is getting a 4K and Blu-ray release. That's a very, very interesting film for one important reason. Ang Lee shot that movie at a very high speed of frame rate.
120 on two cameras, wasn't it?
Yeah, and that's got a little bit of interesting note to it. My friend Mike, who is a former projectionist, knows a lot about projection and also home theater, was kind of complaining earlier when I announced it, and he's rightful to complain about it because he was the one that was telling me this, that you're not going to get to see it in 3D. And 3D would have seen it in 120 frames per second, I believe, is how 3D works.
Well, he shot that. That's why I said two cameras. Shot it. It was like 120 frames per eye.
Right.
So he had two different cameras at 120 frames each to get you that 3D. It's supposed to be the most in-depth 3D, I guess is the way I'd put it. I don't know, but
I would imagine lifelike, very like...
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Beyond photorealistic.
Yeah.
But it's worth noting that that has been preserved in some way, and...
Oh, cool.
It will become a 4K exclusive. You'll get to actually get to see it at 60 frames per second. And this will be the first time that Dolby Vision has ever done that. And then I'd imagine for HDR10 as well, it'll be the first time that you've ever seen 60 frames per second, which is the peak.
I think Billy Linz was shot at 60 because he did that movie as well. And that's one of those reference movies that people talk about the picture for 4K. Yeah. Billy Linz's long halftime walk is the same thing. That's at 60 frames and that's it's got an incredible picture. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I was hoping that there'd be some kind of a 3D to go along with it.
It's interesting to note there that it seems that Paramount has quit releasing films with 3D, so you're not going to see any type of higher frame rate than that. In terms of the Blu-ray version of this, the Blu-ray will receive only 24 frames per second. The release will get Dolby Atmos sound, so that ought to be pretty interesting, seeing some really beautiful eye candy or beyond photorealistic type visuals along with a atmospheric sound mix. That's going to be pretty cool. It's worth noting that's going to get an exclusive 4K steelbook over at Best Buy. Last and least here, no, I'm just kidding, on least. Definitely not least, Zombieland Double Tap will get a 4K and a Blu-ray release.
Yeah.
On January 21st on 4K and Blu-ray. You'll also get a steelbook that'll be exclusive over at Best Buy on 4K as well. Something very interesting about this release, and it's kind of ironic because we were talking about this last week on the show, the IMAX enhanced treatment that you're starting to see some of these 4K titles get. This will be an IMAX enhanced release with DTS:X and obviously high dynamic range. It will only be HDR10. I have confirmed that.
I'm really looking forward to that IMAX enhanced because I ordered that Turtles movie that we talked about last week, Turtles Odyssey.
The IMAX documentary,
That's coming out this week. I think is being delivered to me either Thursday of this week or Friday.
That should be interesting.
Yeah. But now that we're getting actual cinema movies in IMAX Enhance. I can't wait for that.
That was what was interesting is, you know, I didn't remember. Everybody gave me a little bit of, hey, you forgot about this on Twitter immediately when I said this was the first, but it's not the first. Angry Birds Movie 2, the sequel, was the first IMAX enhanced animated title, if we want to get specific here.
Right.
But it seems that Sony has kind of jumped on board here, and I'm not going to say that they're going to do this, you know, exclusively, constantly on all the releases or anything. It kind of seems that Sony has jumped onto the idea of at least doing some of their titles with this. So that's very interesting. And as I said last time, it'd be really interesting to see live action movies get this treatment. And I think that this might be the sign of, you know, things to come.
Yeah, I hope so. I really do. Cause I, like we said on Twitter the other day, talking about IMAX Enhanced, and it's only a positive, because it's just gonna, it creates more competition for the people that don't do it, but you have to, you know, if you have put out a quality soundtrack and a quality picture, and you have, you know, something that's labeled as such, like this is what we consider quality,
right?
Then other people hopefully will follow suit, either in their own version or, you know, or they'll jump on the IMAX Enhanced. So it's very similar to THX.
Right. And that's something that I want to end by saying this. I was actually looking at some of the Black Friday and Cyber Monday deals and looking at some of the televisions that were on sale. I was looking at Sony's current 4K televisions, and I noticed that Sony, the same people releasing this, on their televisions have IMAX Enhanced, Dolby Vision, and HDR 10 and HDLG as well. So I think that Sony is, from a hardware perspective, they're a company that makes hardware, and they're a company that also makes movies, right?
Right.
They're thinking that from that perspective, we've got our hardware that is IMAX enhanced, capable of doing it. It's also capable of doing Dolby Vision, so we could do that for other titles we don't do that on, or we can do it both. So I think maybe that could be what's playing a part in Sony's decision there.
Oh, yeah.
That's only from a consumer perspective, looking at a Sony 4K television right now and, you know, reporting this news to you, I can only come to that conclusion here.
Oh, yeah. My projector is the lowest. Yeah. I have a 4K Sony projector. It's the lowest model of the true 4K projectors that Sony makes, and it's IMAX enhanced.
Exactly. You know, you're pointing out a very important thing there. Not only is it Sony's actual set-top 4K displays, it's also their 4K projectors that are IMAX enhanced. So this would only prove my theory even further correct. I feel like this is Ancient Aliens, and I'm going to stop right now before my hair starts sticking in the air.
Exactly.
Yep.
All right. That's good for this week. We will talk again next week if we can hook up.
It's always it's up to news and reviews and things like that sometimes, and scheduling conflicts and things like that, but we will hopefully
we'll make it work.
We'll make it work. We'll do it live.
Yep. So, all right.
Great as always, DJ, to join you.
And I will see you next week. Thanks, Justin.
All right. All right. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Justin. That was great. I think we forgot to give the date for Gemini Man, which is January 14th next month. That's when it comes out. I think we forgot to give the date on that. I can check back and see if it's there. And also, we forgot to plug your website and your Twitter. And his website is highdefdiscnews.com. And you can find him on Twitter at highdefdiscnews. And on Twitter, it's most important that you spell it H-I-G-H. So check out those two places, because he always has so much more information over there. I got a review saying I'm passionate, and I bow down to him. His passion for this hobby is unreal. But now let's get into one of my favorite movies in my collection that I put in probably a couple times a year, Daredevil from 2003. I really enjoyed it in the theaters. This was back right, you know, shortly after the first Spider-Man came out in 2002. This came out like 6 months later, maybe half a year. It was less than a year later. And I really enjoyed it. really enjoy, I've always enjoyed Daredevil anyways, but the sound on this, I had, the theme is going to be, I had fun with it, because I always, that's what I look for in these tracks, so let's get to it.
Are you here to confirm that Daredevil is responsible for this, Detective?
He can hear it before it makes a sound. He can sense it before it happens. He can vanish before you realize he's there. And he's the last person you'd ever expect.
Police suspect the vigilante Daredevil was the one to bring the criminals to justice.
How do you kill a man without fear?
Let the bodies hit them.
Give me Bullseye.
The devil's mine.
I hope justice is found here before justice finds you.
How can you be a skeptic?
There's no eyewitness. I mean, you know, Bigfoot has eyewitnesses.
Please.
That last bit of dialogue there with Ben Affleck and Jon Favreau, and Ben Affleck says Bigfoot has eyewitnesses. That was one thing in the director's cut. That's the edition that I'm talking about here. It's 30 minutes longer than the regular cut. The original cut is 103 minutes, and the director's cut is 133 minutes. So, big difference. You're getting 30 minutes extra of extra scenes. They actually took out the love scene from the movie and then added that much more. The fight scenes are more elaborate, especially the bar scene, which I'll get to in a few minutes. And there's a lot more humor in this one, too. Well, I shouldn't say a lot more humor. I should say there's a lot more interaction between Foggy and Matt and, well, Ben Affleck and Jon Favreau playing off of each other and joking with each other in different various scenes. And it played really well. I liked it a lot. But that's not why I want to talk about this movie today. The reason I want to talk about this movie today and try to change your mind on, like, this is a good movie, is because the sound in this movie is incredible. It was when I saw it in the theater, and I couldn't wait to get home and watch it in my theater. And then getting it in your theater in that more intimate space, and the sounds going around the room, and now this director's cut is in DTS, it's really, really good. So many good scenes. You could go through this entire movie, basically the entire movie, and that's 133 minutes of a director's cut, almost reference quality. I wouldn't say the entire thing is reference quality. I wouldn't say most of the scenes are reference quality, but it utilizes everything in the room for sound, and it is so much fun to listen to. Right from the opening scene of the movie, when the water hits the puddle and then the bass just goes throughout the room, it's a pretty good punch. None of the bass in this movie is very, very deep, low extension, but it has some good punch to it, especially for a movie from 2003. This didn't get any kind of upgrade in sound or any kind of picture quality upgrade. It's basically a movie. Even the director's cut, they tell you in the commentary that some of the clips that they use, they're not even 100% finished. And I noticed a few of them. I could think of two off the top of my head that I noticed was like, okay, well, that's not really clean. And it kind of jumps to the scene. They just wanted to get this out. Basically, this is like their version of the Snyder Cut. This is really, I think it adds more to the movie. In the commentary, they talk about how they debate back and forth on what comic book fans would like. I'd really like to do this one over on my other podcast, the comic book podcast, Brightside Chat, with my buddy John, because we could go back and forth on the comic debate on how, well, there's different parts of the movie. Is it comic accurate? Is it not? Why did they take those liberties? And that, a lot of that is in the commentary. So if you're into comic books, on this edition here of the director's cut, they get into that a little bit. But the original DVD has more comic book information to it on their extras than this one does. But this one here, I think they talk more about the making of the movie, even before the opening scene, actually. This is a huge note for this movie. This is the first movie where they incorporated the flipping of the pages with the Marvel, with the Marvel logo at the beginning of the movie. Before that, I think it was just the Marvel logo with the music over it. Actually, I know that's what it was, because that's what Ari Arad said in the audio commentary, who is the CEO of Marvel Studios. He commented saying that this is the first time that they put that flipping of the pages in, which I think is pretty cool, because I didn't know that until I just saw the comment, until I was just listening to the commentary. And one of the reasons I love this movie so much is for the sound, and it's pretty cool that for Marvel Entertainment, for this is the first one where they added sound to the logo, the flipping of the pages. That's pretty cool. But getting back to the movie itself, the use of sound in this movie, and it's funny, in the audio commentary, they only mentioned it once where they said they thought it was pretty revolutionary or something like that, but they thought that the use of sound, the sound design on this movie that they thought, and that was the director and Ari was saying that they thought the sound was really good on this, and then they just left it at that. But for me, I haven't been that engaged in a movie with the sound since, I would say, Strange Days from 1995, I believe. It was Ralph Fiennes, Juliette Lewis, I think Angela Bassett was in that. And the sound that they used on that movie, the way everything went around, because the idea of that movie was you were inside their head, using kind of a video game type simulation thing where you put something on your head and you could see and hear what other people experienced. But the way they utilize the surround sound in that movie and the sounds coming from all around, well, this movie here did the same thing, basically dealing with, obviously, Matt Murdock being blind and only being able to hear or see with his sonar, quotation fingers. And the way they utilize that in the movie, like from when he first lost his sight and the scene leading up to that, and the way they use the sound and how dynamic it was and how it always goes around the room. It's just the entire movie is like that. The ambient sound throughout this movie is very engrossing. The ambient sound in this movie is throughout. It's in the city streets. You hear stuff going all around you. The birds chirping, the street sounds, everything. It's just there's something throughout this entire movie going on in all the channels around you. It would be great. I doubt it would ever happen because this movie was so small or didn't do as well as people wanted it to do. To get a 4K with a Dolby Atmos mix, it would be so much fun. This is one of those movies where the sound can really entertain you throughout, and then you're more forgiving of the movie itself. When I actually liked the movie itself as well, but I'm typically more forgiving of stuff anyways. But this is a movie that if you sit down in a theater and just let it envelop you, it really, really is that good. So as for one of my reference scenes from this movie, the first one I'd have to go to as far as a full scene would be the scene where he goes to the biker bar. He starts out in the rafters of the biker bar, and just the surround sound that they utilize for this, the bass, the music in the background, the way he's trying to see with his hearing and the way they echo everything around the room, and then the punches and the bullets going off and things ricocheting around the room. You're in that bar. I mean, your theater room is just in that bar. You're surrounded by everything. It's a great, great scene. You pull that up and it'll really push your system. And I listened to this entire movie at reference level at zero. if I was to show it off, I would probably punch it up a little bit because it is an older movie. I'd probably punch it up about 3 to 5 decibels to get that really extra punch out of the bass out of this. But even just at reference level, this cut is really, really good. Another fun reference scene would be when he sees her for the first time. And again, quotation fingers, sees her for the first time. It starts to rain. And he's looking at her, and that's the way he can see, because the raindrops, he sees the reflection, or sees the sound of each raindrop, I should say. And the way it starts to rain in your room, this is just a 5.1 DTS mix. This is a scene here that if they put this in Dolby Atmos or DTS:X, this is one that would really, really show off. They could have so much fun with this scene. And that's why I think a sound designer would be dying to make this in a Dolby Atmos or DTS:X mix, because they did such a good job doing the 5.1. Imagine being able to use an object-based sound system and just really get things to move around the room. But this rain scene, it just really goes all around you. You start looking over your shoulder for the rain. It's such a good scene. There's so much good stuff in this movie for sound. Just to put it in and just sit back and enjoy it, it's so much fun. I had so much fun with it. So then we also have the scene when Daredevil and Bullseye face off against each other for the first time. Leading up to that was really good. Bullseye riding the motorcycle down the street. Nice rumble, good bass out of that. A lot of ambient sounds going on around of the city. Bullseye throwing his first star at Daredevil, and then Daredevil like hearing it, and the way they utilize that going past you, that was really cool. But then after that scene, they have the reports, the radio and news reports going on that Daredevil is implicated in the murder of Elektra's father, Nachios, and all the news reports are going around the room. There's different news reports in each speaker around the room, which reminded me of listening and watching the latest Joker movie and that end scene in the Joker where the radio reports are all and the news reports are going on. They kind of did the same thing here in Daredevil, and obviously this was in 2003. But I thought that was really cool. It sounded really, really cool. So the next scene I really like to talk about isn't an action scene, but I thought the sound on it and the soundtrack were so good that it's very subtle. I definitely consider it a reference quality scene, because I think showing off this scene shows how surround sound doesn't have to be about action and guns and explosions. It can be about the subtleties too. And this scene here where Matt Murdock goes to the funeral of Elektra's father, and the soundtrack to it is My Immortal from Evanescence. That sound, the song sounds great, but the thunder in the background that you can, the subtle noises that you can hear building to as the rain starts to come, because it wasn't raining at first, but then it just starts raining. And then, of course, in the scene, Elektra puts up the umbrella, and now he can't see her, and that has all meaning within the movie. But that scene alone, just listening to that scene, is really, really good. And another note, I thought it was pretty cool that, because we know, you know, spoilers, Elektra lives, but you think she's dead. But a few of the scenes that she's in, like this one, the soundtrack to it is My Immortal, you know, obviously foreshadowing that she'll live at the end of the movie. The next scene that I wanted to talk about is another, basically a music video, music montage, and it was of Jennifer Garner as Elektra training to go after Daredevil because she thinks Daredevil killed her father. The soundtrack to that is Bring Me to Life and by Evanescence again. And that song, it's that scene is so strong, and that's the music is so loud, and the music is on top of the surround sounds. it's overpowering the surround sounds, but they're still there. And you can hear her hitting the bags in the background, and she's hitting all these hanging sandbags, and they're swinging and all around the room. It's so good, and it's another one of those scenes, but I thought it was pretty cool. It's like another song foreshadowing that Electro will live, and obviously I said the name of the song is Bring Me to Life. If you don't know that stuff, I didn't know it when I was watching the movie. I didn't know the names of those. But I thought that was pretty cool that their choice in music actually foreshadows what happens to a character. But it's also these scenes, then the soundtrack to this, the soundtrack to the entire movie is really good. But these two particular scenes I thought were really, really powerful and really do show off a system. So the last scene or scenes I'd like to talk about are the end of this movie. You start off in a church. You've got giant organ pipes all around. There's going to be a battle. And for a surround sound system, it doesn't get much better than this. So they start battling. The organs are going off. All of a sudden, the birds come flying at you. Birds or bats. They actually look like bats, but I think they're the birds because they show them later, the pigeons around the church. Bullseye even says at one point, bring on the noise. I mean, this is a tour de force of surround sound fun. And again, I can't help but think how good this would sound in Atmos or DTS:X. So after Daredevil defeats Bullseye, he goes right after Kingpin and he goes to his office tower. And that first shot where they shoot the shot from over Kingpin's shoulder. So you see Daredevil kind of, I guess, would be in the background. And Kingpin, you see the back of his head. But the way they shot that to show the difference in size, it was like really how the first time you felt that Daredevil was a smaller character to Kingpin. Because in real life, Ben Affleck is like, I think he's like 6'2", something like that. He's a big guy himself. But that shot, it really gave you that comic book feel of Daredevil being a smaller, inferior guy to Kingpin. And Michael Clark Duncan, he looked awesome as Kingpin. I mean, he really filled out that role, pun intended. And he looked so menacing. And especially when he took his shirt off and how big he was, he looked so good. But that final scene with the battle between Kingpin and Daredevil, really good how it goes around the room. And then, of course, he gets the sprinkler systems to go off, so you have that effect going around the room, similar to the rain scene earlier with Jennifer Garner and Elektra trying to see her for the first time. This movie really was so much fun. I had so much fun doing this. I know there's a lot of critics of the movie itself, and I'd probably agree with you if I sat down on my regular TV and watched it through regular speakers and just sat there and watched this movie, and you'd be like, oh, it's kind of hokey. But that's not what this is about. This is about getting into the movie, getting enveloped by the movie, and just being captivated for what's now 133 minutes of fun in the director's cut. And if you can get a hold of the director's cut, I highly recommend listening to the audio commentary. Because they explain a lot of stuff. They explain how hard it was to make this movie, all the different loopholes they had to jump through, why it was only an hour and 43 minutes in the theater, because they thought the movie needed to move along quicker and be a shorter movie, whereas they wanted to make a better story and have the story arc develop a little bit better. There's a lot going back and forth there. There's a making of documentary, and they really get into how they built the suit and all the different incarnations of the suit and the stuff that Ben Affleck had to go through. That was a lot of fun because a lot of that stuff I remember doing in college, putting the plaster on the face and building different parts of, you know, whatever. I digress. But yeah, there's a lot of good stuff there. There's, you know, gag reels and, I mean, there's so much information just in this one. It was a lot of fun. Really, really was. I had so much fun with this movie. I'm going to give away a copy. So anybody that follows me on Twitter and goes on iTunes and writes a review, I only have one right now. Thank you very much. That was great. I have one review right now, but I need more. So if you write a review, you get put into the raffle, and I'll pick out one name to get a copy of the director's cut of Daredevil. I'll announce the winner in the next week's podcast and how you can contact me so that I can mail you a copy. Oh, and it has to be a 5-star review. I don't want to give away a Blu-ray to somebody that bashed me and gave me 1 star. All right, that's it for this week. You can follow me on Twitter. And if you follow me on Twitter, maybe you'll get a chance to win if you write a review. Follow me on Twitter at BrightsideHT. You can email me at BrightsideHomeTheater@gmail.com. Let me know what you think of Daredevil. Let me know what you think of the podcast. What would you like to hear? Is there a movie you want to hear about? What's your favorite movie? What are some of your favorite scenes to show off your system? Let me know. Not really sure yet what I'm going to do next week, but I will be here next week. So until then, home theater nerds, go push play. Have some fun. See you next week.
Hey, Fred.
This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.